Welcome to the Steelers by the Lake podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host Cody. Cody, how are you this fine Friday evening?
James, I am fantastic. Is this one of our first Friday recordings? Man, this feels weird.
We don't do this often.
No, not often at all. It's like the start of the weekend, but we're like starting or whatever. I don't know. It's weird. But I'm good. I'm repping my alma mater right now.
Yeah, the Fighting Scots.
Yeah, I don't know. They're not even called. I don't even think they're gonna be called the Fighting Scots anymore. That's a whole nother story.
Probably not.
It's really weird.
Big sad.
Oh, whatever. But how are you, James? How are you doing today?
It would be like the Fighting Pennsylvanians.
Listen, that's true. Listen, you guys, I might not have been here today, but James saved my butt at work today. James came and helped me unload my truck and helped me load my other truck. James helped me out today a lot.
I try, buddy.
It was good. It was a lot.
What good are you? What good are you in life if you don't help your friends, right?
If you're not making someone else's life better, you're wasting your time. Let's go.
That's it. Let's go. And that means I'm in a good mood today.
Hashtag Will Smith. Right, that's a Will Smith quote.
Attaboy, Will. I like it. All right. In Steelers-related news, we got a few things going on. Some NFL stuff, some stuff that ties into Pittsburgh based off of current needs, like, say, the quarterback position, and very important things like the decision that the NFL made to make the salary cap $208 million, which is what they said was the maximum possibility. So they went max, which is great because Pittsburgh gets a little more room that way. But I think that's what everybody was calculating off of as far as their guesses anyway.
Yeah.
So this doesn't give us any more. It just gives us the max potential, which is good.
Yeah. Still ideal, especially when everyone thought we were going to have $70 million, which...
Yeah, TJ cut into that quite a bit.
TJ cut a little bit into it, but for sure. In other news around the NFL, since we're talking NFL news specifically, Carson Wentz, previously the quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles and then traded to the Colts last year, has now been traded again back into his original division to the Washington Commanders, the newly named Washington Commanders, I might add. But I shouldn't say newly. It's fairly recent still, but whatever.
Yeah, man. It's only like a month old.
Yeah, but they gave up. So they gave up they swapped this year's second round picks. Indianapolis wound up moving up five spots. And then they also have two third round picks this year and next year. And then they also have a 2023 third round pick that has the potential to become a second round pick if Carson Wentz has 70% or more of their offensive snaps for the Washington Commanders this season. So. Not bad.
Yeah, which you figure as long as he can stay healthy, that'll happen. But that has been his biggest obstacle in his career thus far is staying healthy.
Yeah.
So, there's probably a pretty good possibility that takes another one off the table for the Steelers. First, Aaron Rodgers falls. Then Russell Wilson, like hours later, now Carson Wentz. So a lot of these guys that people really wanted to see Pittsburgh trade for are falling out of availability.
Yeah. Let's talk about the other one because we're here.
Yeah. Yeah. Jimmy G still available. Hasn't been traded for yet. Rumors going around that it could be the Saints taking him off the board. But the big one today, Deshaun Watson, currently of the Houston Texans, was facing, I want to say, about 20 charges of the not so nice account. And he was cleared on him today. So those are not going to go through. He's good in the eyes of the law. There could still be civil lawsuits that happen. And honestly, I'll be kind of surprised if they don't. But in the eyes of the legal world, he's cleared on the charges.
Yep.
So that does mean Houston appears to be ready to trade him and wants to trade him pretty quickly, probably within the next couple of days before free agency starts. Now, that way they can try to get a jump on it and get maximum potential in return for him. Lots of people saying Pittsburgh should go after him.
Yeah, and I've said this on a past episode. Don't get me wrong. Deshaun Watson with our team would be a great player to have. I don't necessarily want the drama that comes with him right now. I realize he's been acquitted. He's been, found not guilty on those charges or whatever the legal terminology of it is. But I still just don't want that kind of lingering topics hanging over that, if that makes sense. I mean, even the guy, who the heck did we sign recently? Why is my brain not working? We brought somebody in.
Last year?
No, my brain's not working. This year. I could be thinking of something completely different.
What position are you thinking?
I can't even remember. My brain is fried right now with work. But that's beside the point.
Was it somebody who had some charges up against them previously?
I think so. I thought so. Or it was something that Pittsburgh brought somebody in. But again, it doesn't matter. What it goes back to is I just don't want that around Pittsburgh right now. With all the with the TikTok boys and the dancing and everything else, even though I'm not necessarily against that kind of stuff, but with all the other attention and even with you think back to freaking Antonio Brown, I just want to get out of that for a little bit. You know, just want to push it all away for a little bit and see what we can do with a focused team or focused locker room.
Yeah, so. I'm 100% with you on this one. If this were just Deshaun Watson, the football player, no strings attached, he had nothing going on off the field where he was accused of things and lots of people accusing him, which is always a bad look. If it were just him on the field, I would be 100% for it. The guy's a tremendous football player. He's got a great arm. He's good at reading a defense. He's very athletic. He's everything that Mike Tomlin wants in a quarterback. Except for the off-the-field situations. And just because he's not getting tried in a legal sense by the state police, whatever it may be, doesn't mean that he didn't put himself in some bad situations a number of times. And honestly, it was a ton of drama with Ben early in his career putting himself in some bad situations. And I'm with you. I don't want a repeat of it. And it seems like maybe Deshaun did it a few more times than what Ben was accused of. So, yeah, I'm kind of out on that, unfortunately. It would, as far as the player, tremendous player. The drama, I'm out.
Yeah, tremendous player. And he's been out of football for a year, for a full year. We don't know what he's done in the meantime. I'm sure he hasn't been lazy by any means. But he probably isn't in the top shape that he was in.
Yeah, you can only stay in that top shape by playing football. That's it. You know, it's a little different for a quarterback, I guess. They don't have to be running all over the place as much as other players. But in part of his game is to be running a decent amount. So,
yeah. Don't get me wrong. He could have been working out all the whole time and everything like that. But there's also just an aspect of not physically playing the sport that it could take a wear. It could take a step against him. So. Red Bull, not advertised by James. Red Bull.
Not yet.
Being shown off.
Soon to be sponsor of the podcast.
Soon to be. You never know. You never know. We're working on getting some sponsors. If you guys know anybody, let us know. We're working on trying to build this thing up and make each so that it's the best that it can be for you guys.
Speaking of people being the best they can be, that's the motto of the Army. And Big Al Villanueva did just retire the other day.
Thank the Lord. I was tired of seeing him in a Ravens jersey.
I know. It was sad. Heck of a player for Pittsburgh for the years that he gave us. Multiple All-Pros and multiple Pro Bowls. I don't know if he had any All-Pros, but at least two Pro Bowls while he was with Pittsburgh. And honestly, when the history books are written with Pittsburgh, at this stage in Pittsburgh's history of all the people that have played left tackle, right now he's one of the best ones that's ever played it for Pittsburgh. So
two-time Pro Bowler.
Gotta really kind of give him his due.
Two-time Pro Bowler, no All-Pros.
Yeah. Yeah, so. And Pittsburgh just doesn't have a history of having guys that played either tackle, really, that made it to the Pro Bowls.
Nope.
Even the great John Kolb, who was the left tackle for the Steelers in the 70s, was not a guy that went to a bunch of Pro Bowls, you know? It was Webster was really the only one from that crew back then, and he played center, which, imagine that, a Steelers center being incredible. The tackle position... Big Al is one that should be revered in Pittsburgh, and I don't blame him for his final year in Baltimore. Pittsburgh didn't offer him a ton of money, and really he was about done anyway.
Yeah.
We saw that he just wasn't as successful this year with the Ravens as he was in previous years.
No, he actually signed with them. We had an interview.
Shout out to Big Al. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. We had an interview with him off camera, and he stated that, you know, he just wanted to make sure that we could win more games. So he went there and made sure not to block. Obviously a joke. We did not interview Big Al, but we did sweep the Ravens this year. So thanks. whatever. Miles Killebrew. Miles Killebrew, special teams all pro. Not really, but I'm going to call him an all pro. Blocked two punts this year. Oh my gosh, he should have been. Blocked two punts for us this year, but just signed a two-year, $4 million deal. $2 million a year. But that's phenomenal. I'll take that. Oh my gosh. If he blocks two punts in 2 years for that price, I'll be happy. Right?
Yeah, and honestly, as far as a special teams player, he's a very good special teams player.
Very good.
And somebody you can rely on as a backup of decent quality, at least, when it comes to the safety position. You wouldn't want him starting at strong safety, but as far as a backup and a very good special teamer, he's well worth the $2 million salary per year that he will get. When you think that the league minimum for a veteran vested player like him is a little bit over $1 million, paying him twice the league minimum, that's well worth it for a guy that blocked two punts, man, because nobody does that.
No.
In one season, nobody does that. So I think it's an excellent signing. Right around the money you would be hoping to retain someone like him for. And I'm okay with going over the league minimum for a guy like him just because I believe he deserves it personally.
Yeah, I can't agree with you more.
Big signing in the world of Cody Tanner.
Yes, big signing for me specifically. No, I'm just kidding. But for the Steelers again, Pittsburgh Pittsburgh did sign Dwayne Haskins, or they tendered him at a 1 year deal for $2.54 million. That's phenomenal. Like worst case scenario for a third string quarterback, that's phenomenal. Best case scenario for a second string quarterback or starter, that's even better. Let's be real. So $2.54 million for Dwayne Haskins for a year. Let's go, James. We like it. We like that.
And it is literally the least amount of money that they could give him without letting him go to free agency and signing him for league minimum in order to assure themselves of being able to retain him without having to fight anybody else. That was the minimum that you could offer him. And I'm on board with it. You know, 2.54 for an experienced backup quarterback. I'm good.
Yeah. So that's all there is for Steelers news, NFL news, all that stuff. As you guys see in the description of the video or the podcast, this episode is going to be all devoted to, or mostly devoted now, to talking about the defensive free agency players that Pittsburgh has, undrafted, unrestricted, restricted, and exclusive rights free agents. So we're going to go through and give our take on them. And we'd love to hear from you guys as well. If you want to comment on the video or comment on the podcast or send us an email or reach out on social media, it doesn't matter. You can do whatever you want, however you want. We'll read what you send us. We'll have a discussion about it. We'd love for more people to get involved that way, and we can't thank you guys enough for, again, continuing to watch, listen, however you're doing that. So let's start it off. Let's start off with the big guys. Big guys.
Yeah, man, let's start with the defensive tackles. Montrevious Adams. Pittsburgh acquired him off the practice squad from the New Orleans Saints last year, and he actually played pretty well, in my opinion. He is an unrestricted free agent going into this offseason. Which means he can go to whoever he wants to go, but he has expressed interest in coming back to Pittsburgh. I would say that you can probably retain a guy like this for league minimum, and I would be 100% on board with retaining him for league minimum. Without knowing what we're going to do as far as the NFL draft at this point, you want to bring back as many guys who you feel can contribute as possible. This is the guy with some upside. He's still young. Maybe he can develop. You're really out almost nothing by bringing him back. So I would be very interested personally in retaining Montrevious Adams as a backup defensive tackle for the Steelers this upcoming season.
Yeah, I can't agree more. Montrevious Adams came in and played very well for what it was worth. Like when he was in there, there were a couple times where James and I were just dumbfounded at how well he played against the run and how well he was able to push players back and even a few times break the line of scrimmage and push players off the line and fight for the backfield and this and that. He was very productive for what he was and for what he meant to the team at the time. So that was really, really good to see. I would love for him to come back and play for us because I know it's not going to get anywhere near breaking the cap. I don't see many other people paying him more. I don't think there's enough footage yet or enough tape to convince someone to pay him more than what we might be willing to pay him. But again, you never know what can happen, but I personally hope to keep him. Moving on to the next big guy, DeMarcus Christmas, also a, or not an unrestricted free agent, but an exclusive rights free agent, which basically means Pittsburgh gets first jab. They can basically say, hey, we'll match, you know, whatever someone else offers you and blah, blah, blah. And then he has to, if they match, he has to come back and play for us. That's what exclusive rights is.
Well, that's, you're kind of describing the restricted free agents. Exclusive rights, we offer them a qualifying contract,
yeah,
which only has to be the minimum contract, and he either signs it or he doesn't play. Those are his options. He can't go to anyone else. We hold all the cards.
You're right.
So that means that DeMarcus Christmas, yeah, easy to do, honestly. It's a little confusing with all the different ones out there.
No, that's fine.
But it means that we can easily retain him and only offer him something like $500,000, $600,000, something like that. So for a guy that you would probably not expect to make the roster this upcoming season, no reason not to bring him back. He won't even negatively impact the salary cap in any way because he's going to be lower than the 51st guy on the roster. So to me, it's an easy decision. If you thought he was good enough to be on the practice squad, then he should absolutely be brought back and allowed to compete this preseason.
Yeah, I'm kind of there with you.
Next guy on our list.
I do want to say one thing about DeMarcus Christmas. I think if he comes back at a cheap enough price, like you're saying, he can come back and compete. But I'm also not opposed to, I feel like if there's someone else at the defensive tackle position who might have better pedigree or more tape or might think we fit the scheme better, I wouldn't mind going after someone in a similar price range as him, but bringing in someone that might play better. For me, that's my decision personally.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think the way it goes as far as financially, the only way you can get somebody as cheap as him is to grab somebody undrafted after the draft.
True.
Anybody in free agency, you'll have to pay them more because they would be a league minimum past those exclusive rights.
Yeah, that's true.
You can pay them less on the exclusive rights than you can in free agency. So to me, I think you bring them in. And if there's somebody else that you like more that you bring in as an undrafted guy, just cut him. No big deal.
Fair enough. Next guy.
It's not Tuesday.
But it would be Taco Tuesday. Taco Charlton, the unrestricted.
Taco Tuesday, if it were Tuesday.
It's true. But Taco Charlton, the unrestricted free agent, outside linebacker. Taco Charlton, in my opinion, is worth bringing back because I think he's as solid as any other backup out in the outside linebacker position we have on the team right now. I would not mind seeing Taco Charlton come back. I also would say that I would not be shocked if someone paid him more than what we will. I think he's for sure the one of the top guys on our unrestricted free agent list. One of them, probably like top three, top four, top three.
I agree with you 100% on that one, Cody, to be honest. I think it would be best for Taco Charlton to go into free agency and see what he can possibly get from other teams. I do believe that someone will probably be willing to offer him more than what Pittsburgh is willing to offer him. And that's fine because honestly, he was a decent quality backup outside linebacker for Pittsburgh, but not like a premier backup outside linebacker. And I honestly liked the progression of Derek Tuska as the season went on.
It's true.
I really did think that he developed. He started getting some sacks for us. And it really, Taco got some pressure. Taco got some pass breakups, but he really didn't get to the quarterback and actually get him down very often. I'm okay with letting Taco go just because your backup outside linebackers, typically you do want them to to help out on special teams also. And a guy like him, you're not getting anything on special teams because he doesn't do it. So you might as well just go a different direction, in my opinion. Maybe bring in another outside linebacker in the draft, but actually keep him instead of cutting him this time.
Yeah, I guess I agree with that. I kind of understand him coming, or the point that you made, him not playing special teams is a bigger deal than what I originally processed. But again, Taco Charlton, for what we had on the team, was fairly good for what he was. But again, you would like to see more pressure out of him. Derek Tuska, I almost completely forgot about. You're right. He played very well and started to see some very good progression out of him. So yeah, I'm in the middle with Taco. I think if they brought him back, I'd be fine. If they didn't bring him back, I would understand completely, especially because someone else might pay him more than what we're willing to. So that makes sense. The next three guys we're going to talk about, two guys we're going to talk about because one of them was signed. We're going to go middle linebacker, Robert Spillane and Marcus Allen. I'm only putting them together because I think I'm pairing them together because I think there's a drastic difference between the two. I think you have Robert Spillane, who is a middle linebacker in the sense of what a middle linebacker should be. You have Marcus Allen, who was transitioned from a safety position to a middle linebacker, but has solely played middle linebacker. You had guys like Miles Killebrew that were actively playing both. Marcus Allen was definitely more playing middle linebacker. Again, in more of a safety body. So I think that these two guys, in my opinion, are viewed wildly differently right now because Robert Spillane, I think you have to bring back. There's no middle linebacker depth other than him and Devin Bush, in my opinion, because I don't think Joe Schobert should. I think we need to get rid of him and he needs to be gone. But again, I don't see that happening. That's just my opinion. And then Marcus Allen, I think there's potential to bring him back more, actually even less now, maybe with the signing of Miles Killebrew, but with the safety position, Trey Edmonds, who we'll get to later, is also a free agent. You might want to add depth of players who are flexible enough to play multiple positions, which Marcus Allen technically is that. So that's my input, but have at it.
To me, I'm with you as far as Spillane. Both of these guys being restricted free agents, that means in order to retain them, you do have to tender a qualifying offer of some sort. Both of them would then be original round is the lowest dollar amount that you can offer them, which would be a $2.54 million contract, just like we saw go to the backup quarterback in Dwayne Haskins. Mm-hmm. To me, Robert Spillane definitely worth $2.54 million.
Easily.
Possibly your second best middle linebacker on the team right now. So we agree on that. I'm agreeing with you 100%. Joe Schobert should be released. You're going to save about $7 million in cap space by doing so. So it really would be a smart move. But to me, I'm kind of done with the Marcus Allen experiment. And I hate saying that because he is a Penn State guy. I love the Penn State. I remember him getting 20 tackles in a game and thinking, my Lord, this guy's awesome. But the thing is, he's a tweener. He's not big enough and strong enough to handle the middle linebacker position, and he's not talented enough in coverage to handle the safety position. So then you say, okay, what's his special teams value? Well, he didn't really pop on special teams. He wasn't really the guy that was making a bunch of tackles on special teams. So to me, the only way you bring Marcus Allen back is if you let him go into free agency, do not sign him before, and then try to sign him back on a league minimum deal, a $1 million contract. I am not cool with putting $2.54 in Marcus Allen's pocket because I think he has not earned it yet. I don't believe he's earned it. And when you're going to be getting a little bit tight in cap space, you know, we just spent $4.5 million on Killebrew and on Dwayne Haskins, that $32 million number is starting to dwindle down pretty quickly here. You can't just keep on giving $2.5 million to guys that might not even make your roster. So to me, I say you bring back Spillane, you still have Devin Bush, and you got Buddy Johnson too. So if you have the three of them, you start trying to build a new group around them.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. Marcus Allen, you know, again, the flexibility is there for the positions, but I do agree with you that they haven't, he hasn't earned a $2.5 million payday. Not even close, to put that politely, not to be mean. The next guys we're going to talk about are all secondary positions. So defensive backfield. And I'm going to just name them off for a second because I want to see the massive amount of corners specifically. So you have Terrell Edmonds in the safety position, but then you also have Joe Hayden, who we picked up from Cleveland and has probably played past his prime at this point. Let's be real. He's not keeping up with any speedy receivers down the field, and he's not super great at keeping up with route running. In the zone, he still plays very well. I'll give him that. Akilah Witherspoon, someone who we picked up this year and didn't play for most of the year and then came in and performed exponentially well. 3 picks in the last half of the year is amazing. Arthur Maulet, who I don't think we got to truly see enough from for me to process his ability to play with us and with our team and in our scheme fit. And then DeMarcus Acy, who even less, I know even less about DeMarcus Acy and what he has to offer for the team. But looking at this, 4 corners and a safety on quite personally, a secondary that's been up and down at best for the past few years. You have to keep, in my opinion, 2 of those corners just to make sure you have players in the locker room that know the playbook at this point. That's my personal opinion. And maybe you'll agree with me on that. Maybe you won't. But obviously, I want to kill a Witherspoon. I don't want to keep Joe Hayden. And I think Arthur Maulet would I would love to keep Arthur Maulet because he's actually had field time and hasn't completely looked horrible. That is the best way that I can put that. And then you know how I feel about Terrell Edmonds. Let's be real. I'm ready to get somebody new in there.
When going after all these guys, to me, Terrell Edmonds, the only way you bring him back is if you can get him at a reasonable contract of like $4 million or $5 million per year. At that salary, I'm okay with paying him as a starter for like a 2-year deal. I don't know that I even want to commit to a 3-year deal with him because I feel like if you do 2 years, that gives you a window to try to find somebody in the draft that you can get as a replacement at a higher level player. Joe Hayden, I'm with you on Joe. He's over the hill. His best future role is probably switching to the safety position, but he's only a little bit over 190 pounds, so he'd really have to pack some muscle on, and I feel like that would probably make him even slower, which just isn't going to work for Joe. So I think for Pittsburgh, with the ultra elite athletes that they play against at the wide receiver position, you just can't afford to be marching a guy like Joe out there anymore. And calling him a starter. Akilah Witherspoon, I 100% want Akilah Witherspoon back. I feel like he can be your top corner on this team. Yeah, I like what he showed us in the second half of the year. He's got good athleticism. He was a 4.49 40 guy when he ran his combine a few years back. And I do believe of this group, he should be the one that they prioritize the most. Now, as far as Arthur Maulet, I do vary a little bit with you on that one. I wouldn't mind seeing Arthur Maulet come back, but if they do bring him back, I would want him on a minimum deal. And honestly, I would like to see if Trey Norwood can beat him as the slot corner because I feel like Trey Norwood has better coverage skills. And Trey has made some really nice plays in his rookie season. I feel like he probably have a little bit more potential, and he's a bigger player too. He's got a couple inches on Arthur Maulet. And I do feel that maybe the potential of Trey Norwood is quite a bit higher than what you would get with Arthur Maulet. I wouldn't mind having Maulet on the team, especially going into the preseason. But I do feel like Pittsburgh does need to address this position in the draft at least once.
Oh, my gosh.
If you had more picks, you'd probably want to take one guy early and one late. But, yeah, I feel like you can easily move on from 2 of these guys and be all right. If you move on from 3, your cornerback position is going to be absolutely devastated. And briefly with DeMarcus Acy being an exclusive rights guy, bring him back. It doesn't even affect the cap. Let him compete and see if he can turn into something. But I would not really factor him into the decisions as far as free agency or the draft. He doesn't really factor in. You let him come in and compete, and maybe he shows you something, but don't expect him to.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. The DeMarcus Acy one specifically, very much so. Arthur Millette, yeah, I see what you're saying. I agree with the draft. You have to draft somebody in this position. You have to. Even if it's just to have competition on the team. We talked about the corners when we looked at the NFL Combine.
Yeah.
We talked about the guys that are available. The talent's there. And I think the talent will even be there late. But you just have to make a decision. You have to go for somebody. So I think we'll have to wait and see what happens. Again, this draft can be very intense. Speaking of the draft, James and I very soon are going to start doing some mock drafts. So if you guys have your own, send them in. We'll read them and show them on stream. Please let us know. We would love to see it. We'd love to actually take a look at what you have to offer and what your draft looks like. And then we'll talk about ours and we'll go over that and see what actually plays out. And we're just very, very excited. So again, even this next episode that we will be doing, which will be the start of free agency, we're actually going to be kicking off our 2022 NFL season here at Steelers by the Lake. It'll be the first episode. We're super excited for that. It's a little bit of a different switch than last year. We wanted to try something different. Turns out we'll see how we feel about it and we'll let you guys know. But again, I don't know. I have no more remarks specifically about these defensive guys, but again, I think the biggest need here is to not give up depth or lose depth in free agency, because it's already not there for most of these positions, quite frankly.
Yep.
I agree.
I think they should be aggressive in the secondary in the draft.
Yeah. I feel like normally Pittsburgh's set at depth in like one defensive position. And right now I feel like we're not at all. And it's really hard.
Yeah. And I feel like for once, the coaching in the secondary is finally where it needs to be. We're starting to develop some talent here. We're bringing guys to their maximum potential, and even seeing a seventh round draft pick contribute very highly in a positive way. I think the coaching we're seeing from Terrell Austin back there is really starting to take off. And I think now's the time to really start bringing in some youth, bring in a strong safety in the draft, bring in a corner in the draft. And let's see what Terrell Austin can really do with coaching these guys up. And then maybe you have yourself a future defensive coach superstar kind of guy. You know, this is, I think there's a lot of potential. Let's bring in some talented young guys. Let's bring in some athletic guys. And let's see what Coach Austin can do with them.
Heck yeah. I can't agree with you more. So again, thank you guys so much for listening and watching. Be sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Be sure to subscribe and ring the bell. It's free. And until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.